Mark?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Okay, we have a full assembly tonight. It's the regular assembly meeting of November 21st, 2016. It's time for the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of minutes from previous meetings. There's none listed, so we'll just step over that. Maybe it'll be two meetings on the next agenda. Looking for amendments or approval of tonight's meeting agenda. Entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any changes, or can we move forward with what's presented to us? Okay, seeing no changes, we'll move forward with the agenda we have. First item on the agenda is a public hearing, and it's for ordinance 2016-12. And that's an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone parcel 01-014-015 at 919 Sandy Beach Road from public use to single-family residential. Anybody in the audience want to participate in this public hearing? Step forward, state your name, and we'll listen. Yeah, come forward, whoever. Yeah. Thanks, Brent.
My name is Brian Poust. Just a quick comment. When I retired from the university here several years ago, I started to go over the island looking for various spots to take pictures of wildlife, and I did locate one spot which was just ideal, the property you're talking about right now. The sun angles and the various other aspects are quite good. I'd stop short saying world-class, but a very, very good site for spotting wildlife at mid-tides to high tides. Tremendous viewing opportunity. So I just thought I'd mention that to you. I haven't heard anybody mention about this before, but there it is.
Okay, thank you, Brian, for your comment there. Anybody else want to participate in the public hearing about the rezoning of lot 919 at Sandy Beach Road? Okay, seeing no other hands going up, that public hearing is closed. We have another public hearing this evening, and that's on ordinance 2016-13. An ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2017 budget for known changes. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to this public hearing? Okay, seeing no interest, we'll move on. Next item on the agenda is item 6, that's bid awards. There's nothing listed there. Item 7, visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there any visitors in the audience today with views related to items on the agenda? Okay, Jerry, want to? This is fine. If you come and do it now, do it all at once, and then when we start talking about it amongst the assembly, it'll just be us.
I give you a little map, just a little photo.
So sure.
Reference my little talk to.
We can share.
Thank you.
Are we going to keep it?
Enough. I was going to say we can share.
We can share. Thank you, Jerry.
Nordic.
Yep, Roger.
Jerry. Oh, no, I got another one. My name is Gerald Whitethorn. I've lived in Petersburg for just about 35 years, and I own Alaska Commercial Electronics. I want to give you a little history of some of the projects that my company has done in this time. Along with Marine Electronic Sales and Service, we've built mountaintop real telephone systems, automated controls and software for our local Crystal Lake Hydro. We've built submarine power line monitoring alarm systems, solar panel power systems, radio voice alarm and control systems. Cole has one of those, crane controllers. We've designed, engineered, assembled, and sold over 1,300 boat alarm, watch alarms, keep people awake on watch. We've designed and built and installed a few thousand vinyl signs on boats, numbers, the F&G number. We build hundreds of other signs for other local communities. When the price of our fuel was about $5 a gallon, we started selling far-infrared heaters. Cut people's heating bill about in half when the fuel was $5 a gallon. So, done quite a few different things. In our small business in Petersburg, we've collected for this city over $200,000 in sales tax. We've paid approximately $45,000 in property lease payments and another $30,000 in real estate improvement taxes on our lease. We've donated to Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Little League, baseball, basketball, swim teams, fishing derbies, all sorts of other local fundraisers. And we estimate that during our time at this location, and I have to correct that because it's not this location, during our time in Petersburg as Alaska Commercial Electronics, we've only been in this location 22 years. We've donated well over $400,000 to the local religious charitable organizations in Petersburg, and at times we've had up to 5 employees, very small business. Why do I tell you this? We didn't start out this way. We had to adjust our product service lines to fit the market. It was evident that once we had a facility, we would and could do more than marine electronics sales and service. That in itself would not have sustained our business. We would not have lasted as long as we did. Small business in this town must be diversified. Given a chance to grow, small business can do amazing things. If we limit their business, they may not survive. Small businesses make up the core of any community. They provide jobs, tax revenue, and contribute to our local community in ways that are unimaginable. I would like to speak to you about my lease with the borough. My plan is to eventually sell my building. It sits on borough property. It's located at the Petersburg Tidelands lease 01, 010, 041, portion of ATS 9 port facility. I have an interested buyer that has been told by planning and zoning that they're okay with the transfer of the lease, but they only want to give them 20 years. My lease has 33 years left on it. Unfortunately, 20 years for investing in a building may not be enough to pay for the building and give them any time to enjoy the benefits of having a paid building. No more rent checks going out. So my lease has 33 years remaining, and if my lease was transferred to them, that would remove some of the risk for the purchase. Almost every other lease at this facility is 55 years. 22 years ago, my business request to lease a piece of property was rejected by the Harbor Board with a vote of 6-0. I didn't get one vote for me to lease the space I've been on for 22 years. Well, one of the members is out of town. I probably had 7-0. I was told that this area was needed for bait sheds. This was a couple of months after another business obtained a lease for his engine service and sales business in the same area, what's now Waterfront A. After some discussion with the harbor master, the vote was reversed, 6-0. 6 people said, okay, you can go there. Now, my potential buyer was also told that they had to get the harbor's blessing. I'm thinking, oh boy, not this again. We're going to go through this. After some extended discussion, the question was called for at the harbor board meeting, and the question was not to recommend the lease to the Randrups, whose lease you're going to review later, or proposed, because it wasn't enough of a marine industrial business. It failed to get a 4th vote, so was deemed dead, a dead issue as far as the harbor was concerned, and the Randrups would have to go to the assembly for further resolution. We'll address this later tonight. My final request to the Harbor Board was this. If nothing else, at least establish a reference or a baseline or a guideline for how they make their decisions as to who is marine-oriented enough to qualify for a lease. So the problem is every person that would want to buy a piece of property improvement on the lease property have to go through planning and zoning, Harbor Board, and ultimately come to you. So it's kind of left up to the board individual's interpretation of marine-oriented, or is it enough of a marine or an industrial business for us to lease them space in that facility? So we all know that without a fixed set of rules or zoning laws, everyone can interpret the situation differently. In fact, personality conflicts could result in a no vote. I have formally submitted a request, as you may have seen in your packet, although it was late, to amend my lease with the borough to be in line with a comprehensive plan as of the last review, February 1st, 2016, with my current lease. I'm only allowed to sell my store to another business like my own. So basically, I have to find another guy like myself to buy my store, my building. Makes it very difficult. If it was that good, I wouldn't be leaving. But things have changed here in 22 years. I was basically the only guy selling electronics here 22 years ago. Now there's four people selling electronics. So time changes. Also, finding a buyer that can and will make an investment in a marine electronic sales and service business is very difficult and very much limits the market for finding a buyer and that buyer's chance of survival. Also, no one will invest in improvements knowing that they could be sent away at the whim of the harbor. My Tidelands lease, as I refer to 01010041, portion of number 9 port facility, this property is located in the waterfront A category zone as of the new comprehensive plan. Zoning for this category has not been established. Zoning established, what do you base your decision as to whether or not I can be there on? So what it does say, though, is no zoning has been established, but commercial C1 zoning is referred to be built from. And not very well explained how that all works, but it sounds to me like that waterfront A is going to be, the zoning is based on commercial one properties, at least to start with. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the only information I could find. C1 zoning of Petersburg Code 19-32020 will create a baseline for the types of business that can be conducted on these leased properties. The zoning is not new, as I can refer you to the amendment number 5 to the Tidelands lease agreement between the City of Petersburg and Kurt and Christy Birchall, doing business as Stikine Services. The adjacent Kurt and Christy Birchall Tideland lease is also waterfront A and has been amended to include on-site retail sales, which is the first item in C1 zoning, to include a drive-through coffee shop, bus storage, an automobile service station, and they also have a gas station across the street. So there's basically four entities in that Birchall lease, none of which, in my opinion, are marine-oriented, but yet they're all four there. So obviously, they must have qualified in someone's mind to be there because it's been added to their lease. I still plan to do some Petersburg business, but without my current shop, due to the fact that more and more equipment that I've sold in the past is being purchased over the internet, mail order catalogs, as well as on-state contract, I no longer have a need for my shop. Today's economic environment, in today's economic environment, we should welcome all business investment opportunities in our community with open arms. We're always looking for new taxes. We're looking for new revenue. If you let people build improvements on some of these leased properties, we pay real estate tax on them. But without buildings, you just pay a lease. So that's all I have. I can explain this little picture a little bit. Show you what's here. Gas station. Can you see? Gas station. They sell the cars. Not necessarily. Oriented? Nobody knows because nobody knows what that means. Clarify here. Find that. So here we have coffee shop, garage, bus depot. Here we have Alaska Commercial Electronics, and my little complex. This area back here is kind of part of the area I'm concerned about, as well as I think these people might also like the idea of being able to sell their property when they retire to someone other than an engine rebuilder. I mean, maybe we want a welder to come in there, or maybe we want somebody else to come in there, or who knows. But I've been here 22 years. This has been bait storage the whole time I've been here. Always been bait storage. In fact, I gave up the back 20 feet of this lot by 100 to store an additional 5 or 6 bait sheds because I really didn't need it and they didn't want me to have it, so I gave them some back. It was good for both of us. But I understand that as these bait sheds come out of here, they're going to end up over here at the facility for storage in the drive down dock, which is going to open up all this that doesn't have someone already on it. That's a lot of property left over. And I understand that this little water inlet here someday could be a travel lift to pull boats out, drag them over on this lot, let people work on them. You could have an electrician, you could have a welder, you could have a fiberglass guy working in this area. There is a lot of room for boats bands that come in to do fiberglass work or do wiring. I've designated Waterfront A, which they have classified as businesses that require waterfront. I measured this off. It's over 200 feet to waterfront here. I don't have waterfront property, but that's the designation that I seem to have to live with. So, nice, clean little operation. Anyway, that's Glorianne's photo of the air, from here. So that's really all I have. Any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jerry. Any questions of Jerry?
Presentation.
Okay, Jerry, thank you. Any other visitors in the audience tonight with views related to items on today's agenda? Do you want to just do it now and get all the? I think it'd be better to take everybody's visitors' views at one point, and then when we deliberate as an assembly, then we do it without any comment. Joel, there's another person, Chris. If you want to, Joel, would you want to speak? Unless the assembly wants to do it differently, but that's generally the way I'd like to do it, and it keeps things more organized. I need organization.
Don't we all?
You're live.
I'm live. Hello, Joel Randrup here representing myself. My wife Kim's in the audience there. So glad it's warming up outside. Sure much rather been at Homestead watching that race. I enjoyed watching that. Jimmy Johnson got his 7th Sprint Cup Championship. It's pretty cool. that it's warmer in Florida than here, but anyway, it's nice to be here. I think many years ago that I was in a bunch of guys were supposed to give these presentations, and one guy got up, and I didn't know that we all picked one out of a hat, and we both got the same thing, and he got up and gave mine point for point, and I got up and had to stand there. So thanks, Jerry. I had a lot of the same things to kind of go over. I think this is a growth opportunity for the community, really, basically, that there is some unintended vague definitions in waterfront A, B, and C. And without a definition, you're turning away business by saying they're not marine related. And I could see looking outside the box a little bit, you know, his building is along the street, and I could understand if something's right on the water and you're reserving that. But, you know, to come up with a business plan and want to do this, of course, we look at our books and you sleep on a little bit and you decide, okay, I think your business is expanding, we can go for it. And then we're hit with, okay, you're not marine business, you can't do it. So I don't want to stand in the way. We all want to see a travel lift there. We want to see marine industry, and it'd be great for the community. So if that's what the main plan is, then that's fantastic. But to try and define, you know, what we are, everybody knows what Kim does in town. So we look through everything, and as close as we can figure, you know, the embroidery is 85% is for boats and crews, and you see the hats and the coats and the stuff around town, you know, bags and different things that they want their boat names on and stuff. So 85% is for marine businesses. 80% of our quilting is for fishermen's wives. And that includes, because she is involved with the Quilts of Valor and does that for some fishermen that are veterans. And almost 75% is his hair for fishermen and fishermen's families. So I'm not here to argue for a yes vote. I just am trying to have a more refined definition for in these fiscal times that we're going to be facing as a borough that are coming, that if we're going to be turning businesses away, that this might be a good time to try and look at this and work together. This unfortunately started on our side with a lot of lack of knowledge of how this process works. And I've learned a lot about the comprehensive plan, done a lot of reading, and I can see, you know, some issues with that I think we could try and get around, but without doing that, it's really hard to tell a business they can't go in there. And if it doesn't work for me, it's going to be the next one and the next one and the next one. Or if that's the plan for this particular property, then my advice is to buy that building. The city needs to buy that building. And when the next set of buildings comes up, they buy that so that they got this firm grip on all of that property to do with what they want when the plan comes together. Otherwise, it seems like you're turning away opportunity. But like I say, I'm not here to argue. And the way the vote or the way the lease reads now and the way the waterfront master plan reads now, in my opinion, looking at it, even a yes vote doesn't help our situation much because, as Jerry alluded to, businesses change. I don't want to go down the road and then try and sell this and have to have the next person go through all of these that I've gone through. It's very tough to sit in these boardrooms, in these boards, and they're all well-intentioned, great people, all people of the community, but they look at you and say, no, we don't want your business. And that's a tough thing. And they're dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with, even trying to read and understand it. So they, you know, they need help too. So what I mean by the yes vote is it just seems, in looking at the lease, that we won't be much better off if that can happen down the road and I got to fight to try and sell it when I want to retire, or Kim. And there's a little teeny bit of time left on the lease, and as the Planning and Commission said, they just want a little bit of time. And even the existing lease has, it has like 33 years left on it, but if we go 20 and there's just 10 left and they got to fight and they're not quite sure, that makes a crunch to try for us to sell it too. So it's like, well, it's not that, you know, I'm digging my heels sort of type. Kim would not have gone this far. We would just probably wouldn't even be here. But we started this and I wanted to see it through. And like I say, I think it should be all of us sitting at the table on the same side of the table trying to figure this out. It shouldn't be on one side and the other, in my opinion, to work through this. And try and maybe define exactly a little more or come with a code. You refer to C1 and it says we're fine, we wouldn't even be here. So, you know, I wasn't around to help build the plan, so here we are. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk. I would just conclude with a few facts and figures very shortly, but University of Alaska is a place I like to go a lot for their Institute of Social and Economic Research, and I do a lot of reading those guys to see what they say on the economy and what's happening with Alaska. And they did a 2-year snapshot, and in the last 2 years since oil has dropped, the price of oil, Petersburg has lost 85 private economy jobs. So that's pretty significant for our small community. And whether they're off by one or two, or, you know, they got their data from the Department of Labor in Alaska. So, and in that same time frame, Wrangell has gained 80 jobs. So, you know, building economy in or infrastructure in somehow, we're all excited to go that direction for sure and help our community out. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Any questions of Joel?
Yeah, Mark, can I play the devil's advocate for just a minute?
Please.
So, Mike, I'm just going to assume now that they've got the bulkhead in at the commercial drive-down area that when these bait sheds get put on the boats, they're probably not going to go back to this area. Is that correct, Glo? Or, I mean, what do you see the intended use of this area behind the shop here in the next year or so? Right. Right, that was going to be my point. Now I know there's EPA standards and there's things that, you know, that we have to adhere to when you know no particulates in the air and things like that. But fiberglass smell is going to be prevalent, you know, possibly in this area. Is that a consideration that you guys have thought about? Is the fumes that come from the industry that's going to be probably in your backyard there? Is that going to be something you guys are going to be able to live with? Because I don't want you guys, you know, getting started in a business here and then all of a sudden realizing that maybe this isn't what you signed up for. You know,
right,
you're at a shipyard and you know, and I've been to places where
exactly
you can't spray paint unless the boat's covered, but yet the fumes, you can't do anything with fumes, so.
Right, yeah. And you know, there's the Harbor Board presented some of that and I don't know how we're willing to deal with that, but as far as dust and fumes and different thing, I mean, looking at I don't have it here with me, but looking at what C1 code is, you know, it's not industrial's different in the code. And C1 says that you cannot allow that to happen to your neighbor. Now, I still don't, I'd still work with people, help people tarp things over if I got to run down and help and different things. Fumes are a different thing, but as far, you know, it does say that in the code. So that's something that I wasn't aware either until the Harbor Board hit us with, well, what if fiberglass dust is drifting out there and gets on your quilts? I thought, well, yeah, that's a big deal. Could be. So then we started to look at the code, and C1 code says you cannot do that. And believe me, if fiberglass dust is drifting onto Jerry's building and in the street, I believe the city's going to have, and I don't want to travel down that road, but you're going to have more of an issue than just us and quilts. Somebody's going to breathe that, and then, I don't know, you know, lawyers get involved, and then it's just terrible. But, yeah, I do understand about paint fumes, and, yeah, and, I mean, the coffee itself is quite a deal, but C1 could be involved with that one too, the code. But okay. We're not going to hold anybody to blame. I'm not saying that, hey, that guy can't paint his boat.
No, that's what I was referring to. I understand about the dust. I know you can't do sandblasting and you can't have any particulates in the air. I understand that's in code. But no, I was just thinking fumes are something, another animal altogether.
There's one more, if I may interject one thing. There's one more thing to also think about in this. And either if we get it or if Jerry hangs on to it, one of the two things that if that turns into an industrial, the haul out comes in, you got the travel lift, the price of that building is going to go up. We may not want to be there, and it may be an opportunity to sell it to whoever is running that behind there and say, you know what, this is coming. It is here now. They're going to be painting boats right behind. And, we're not into that, but you know what, this is an opportunity, and we could maybe make more money we bought for and sell the building to another young fella, and he's got a business, and he stores paint stuff in there, paint behind the building. That opportunity is there too. So I understand your question, though. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor?
Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, if I may, and before Joel leaves the podium, there might be a little bit of confusion here. The property is currently zoned industrial. It's not C1. It's industrial.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Waterfront A, which is what's referred to in the new comprehensive plan, that has not been implemented yet. So that property may become Waterfront A. That'll be part of the P&Z's process as they go through and identify things. But the property today is zoned industrial. So I want to be everybody kind of clear. The uses that Mr. Randrup and his wife want to use it for fall within industrial use. So it's not the current zoning that poses the problem. It's the current lease that Jerry Whitethorn has that for whatever reason, and I wasn't here then, it specifically calls out Jerry's business and says only business can be done there. So it's not really a current zoning issue. It's a current lease issue, unless the assembly is looking forward to saying, well, we're going to zone it Waterfront A down the road, and then we have a different problem.
But
that make any sense?
We can change the lease wording if we go that route. Right.
Yeah, I mean, so the existing zoning today, Mr. Randrup and his wife's business would fit just fine. Okay, it's the lease that poses the problem.
Okay, thanks. And you understand that, Joel? I mean, the way that...
Yeah, that's my other suggestion on this whole thing. I missed over one of my big bullet points here. Boy, when somebody starts this, we need to have a big information packet for them. You learn something new every day. And then you got a back step, it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I understand that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So, Mr. Mayor, it sounded like Jerry had tried to put an amendment in on his lease before the meeting here, but it didn't get into our packet. Is that correct? So,
it's actually, we have copies of it, and...
When we get to that part our meeting, we can have that. And it's you wanted to talk to the change in the lease, Joel? Because I'm aware of what would need to be done. Would need to be changed from
that's our own
commercial electronics to
that would be our only. That's kind of the problem with from where we stand is dealing with. I guess we'll see how the lease thing goes, but planning and zoning boards are going to change, harbor boards are going to change, and in 20 years, how is that going to be approached for us to, it's tens of thousands of dollars invested in an asset, and then this was quite a difficult task to get to this point, so it'd be nicer if it was a little more streamlined to sell it if it was sold. And that's the only point, really, is it's quite a big deal to buy it, and that would be it, to get down that road and then have a difficulty of, it's kind of like, what Jerry was saying with maybe personality conflicts with a whole different assembly of people here in 20 years or whenever, and like I say, the different boards, and so I mean, that's just kind of touching on that.
Right, like decisions any board makes can be changed in the future.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Any other questions of Joel? Are you, is that it, Joel? Or?
That's all I got.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any other visitors in the audience today with views related to items on today's agenda? Chris?
Good evening. I'm Chris Norris. I live at 1001 Sandy Beach Road. I'm here to speak to agenda item 15B, resolution 2016-27. I'm respectfully requesting your utmost consideration for passage of resolution 2016-27, which conveys an easement of approximately 280 square feet where an historic pullout has been in existence and use since at least 1979. I do not know how much earlier than that it may have been built and utilized, but I do know that it is a minimum of 37 years. As the owner of Lot N Sandy Beach Road, I feel I will be adversely impacted by multiple actions taken to date and being further considered by the Borough Assembly. In my opinion, the actions detract from the value and aesthetics of my property and makes departing my lot much more difficult and not as safe as it has been in the past. I am here now, though, to only speak to resolution 2016-27, and I am seeking the continued use of a pullout that's been in existence prior to my purchase of Lot N from the state of Alaska in 1979. I wish to maintain some normalcy to my day-to-day access to and from my residence and to minimize the disruption to me and my neighbors. Assembly member Stanton Greger pointed out to me during a break at the last assembly meeting that I may have another option to exiting my lot other than backing down the entire driveway at Sandy Beach Road, and it appears he may be correct. I, for one, have to admit a lot of confusion surrounding the various easements, their size, history, legal use, and purpose in this area and the surrounding lots. And I know I've heard and continue to hear similar confusion expressed by some assembly members. However, even using the easement Assembly Member Stanton Greger refers to as an alternative is more difficult to use than the pullout I currently use. It is further down the driveway towards Sandy Beach Road by a car length or two. It requires more than a 90-degree turn backwards on a somewhat blind corner, which is exacerbated during our many hours of darkness this time of year, and especially when snow is present. This alternative route is also used by the rental resident and visitors of Lot A, so I run the risk of backing into other vehicles as they head out from their property. With regard to the historical pullout I've been using, let me say that I currently have to assist visitors in exiting my driveway by either directing them as they use the pullout, or by actually getting in their vehicle and turning it around for them. And I foresee having to do this even more often using the alternate route. I understand a few of the assembly members came to the property to look it over. I sure wish I'd known that you were gonna be there so I could have walked it with you and discussed my concern and experiences having been there for 37 years. I also wish you'd come out while it was dark out and actually tried to make the maneuver. My pattern of use has been to use a small pullout that's approximately 14 feet by 18 or 20 feet, depending on where you measure, that's located on the 50-foot easement their borough vacated at their last meeting. The action you took 2 weeks ago to vacate the 50-foot public easement resulted in approximately 15,530 square feet being added to Lot 10, which the borough intends to auction. I understand that this action was taken to maximize the value of the property. 15,530 square feet is over one-third of an acre and was taken out of public use. It's actually 0.356 of an acre, making Lot 10 1.33 acres. This is a very large lot compared to most found along Sandy Beach Road. The easement I am seeking is approximately 280 square feet, a mere 1.8% of the vacated public easement, and far less than that of the total lot size. This pullout is used for mere seconds at a time. Just enough to back the car up and turn the direction. The 280 square foot easement would be overlaid on the newly created private access and utility easement that is currently only accessible to the new owner of Lot 10. I do not believe that retaining 280 square feet as a pullout, as an easement, reduces the value of Lot 10 in any measurable way. I also believe that adoption of the resolution does no harm to the future owner of Lot 10. And I truly believe it is reasonable to ask that 280 square feet be allowed to be utilized by both adjacent property owners, that being the owners of Lot 10 and Lot N. To lose the use of this historical pullout is hugely and adversely disruptive to me, and I honestly fail to see what purpose is being served by denying access. However, adoption of the resolution would honor historic use, provide the least disruption, and provide the safest departure from the property. I respectfully ask that you please preserve my historical use of the pullout by adopting the resolution before you. Mr. Mayor, if I might add, I'd sure like the opportunity to respond once this agenda item comes up, if there are issues that come up that I might be able to provide some clarity.
If there's clarification needed or questions, that would be fine.
Thank you.
What? Oh, you forgot your book. I thought you were going to sing or something. Okay, thank you, Chris. Any other visitors in the audience with views related to items on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody wants to bring something up that's not listed on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. Board, commission, and committee reports? There are none. Consent agenda, no items there. Report, that brings us to report of other officers, and there is no reports listed there. And then we're on to the mayor's report. First of all, we're seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from Petersburg residents willing to serve on the following boards, commissions until October 27th, municipal election. We have one vacant school board seat, two vacant hospital board seats, one planning commission seat that's vacant. In addition, there is one vacant seat on the Historic Preservation Commission serving as a representative of the Planning Commission. The appointee will serve until December 31st, 2016. Letters of interest may be addressed to the borough clerk and emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, or dropped off at the borough administration office at 15 North 12th Street. We're seeking letters of interest to serve on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board. Petersburg Borough will have one voting member on the SEPA board for calendar year 2017. Citizens willing to serve are asked to submit a letter of interest to Mayor Jensen or Clerk Thompson in the same manner as mentioned above for borough boards commissions. The assembly will be appointing one voting member and one alternate. And today we received another letter from John Jensen. My name is John E. Jensen, and I am a long-life resident of Petersburg. A lifelong resident of Petersburg. I'm currently one of two voting members representing Petersburg to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. I am also serving as the chairman of the board of directors for SEPA. I am seeking reappointment to the SEPA board and would be honored to serve for 2017 and continue to represent Petersburg's vital interests in maintaining reasonable rates and reliable service from Taiyi and Swan Lake power facilities. So that's read into the record, and Member Logadakis has sent us a letter, and I'm going to be interested in that position too. So at the next meeting, December 5th, I believe it is, we'll appoint with the approval of the assembly. Alaska Municipal League Conference, myself, the manager, Member Castro, and Jody Tao were there, and Bob Lynn, and it was pretty interesting. In the Conference of Mayors, there was a presentation from Commissioner Monaghan. He's Public Safety Commissioner, I believe, or I'm not sure if that's the right term, but he did a presentation on Senate Bill 91, which is the changes to the levels that it takes to be arrested and kept in jail. And there was a lot of complaints from many of the mayors in the room. In fact, after the meeting, which got done about 4:30, the mayor of Kenai showed me a text he had received. There was someone arrested in his community at 10:30 that morning for a burglary, and he was arrested again that afternoon at 3:30. So they're trying to tweak it, and it hasn't been fully implemented, so hopefully things will change, but a lot of the communities are upset. There was many resolutions discussed on Friday and voted on. Some of them are similar to the resolutions we're going to be talking about. A few that AML supported. They want the legislature to come up with a sustainable budget, keep PERS and TERS the same level of contribution from the municipalities, and they passed fully funding the Harbor Grant Program, sent that resolution forward, and they barely passed supporting the derelict vessel resolution, which has been presented by the Association of Harbor Boards. Resolutions that were pulled and not supported, which one is of interest to us, well, there's a number of them are, but sales tax resolution, they took no position on that. So they're not saying they don't want a sales tax, statewide sales tax, as the AML doesn't. So as far as harbor employees being added to the list of people in public that are have the same protection, I guess, or people that assault them or have infractions with them, as police officers and EMTs, that failed. And support for, there was something about the breakers in the harbor going to a different size amperage, and that failed as well. So there's more, but that's just kind of a summary of those, some of the resolutions. And then on Saturday on the way home, the manager and I stopped and visited with Randy Ruero from Senator Stedman's office. Since he's been instrumental in dealing with DNR and our lobbyists about our land selection from forming a borough. And we've asked for 14,000 more acres. And they're, I can't remember the names of the people that are in the different offices, but it looks like it's, you know, promising at this point. So we're just going to keep an eye on it. Do we have anything to add to that conversation we had, Steve? Or
no, you're covering it well.
Excuse me. So that went well. And then another item on the mayor's report is I've received a letter, a formal invitation from Ambassador Corey Oss to attend it's called the Arctic Frontiers Conference in Tromsø, Norway, in the end of January. Quite an honor. I've talked to him a little bit back and forth, and he's going to be there, so that would be interesting, meet a lot of people, I'm sure. But Ambassador Oss states in the invitation that the Norwegian government places a high priority on further sustainable economic development in the Arctic region and strives to achieve a heightened understanding of the Arctic and a more prosperous life for the people that live there. Petersburg's involvement in the conference will promote even closer ties between Norway and Alaska. Another surprise after I got that invitation is they're going to pay for travel, lodging, and the conference costs, which I thought was pretty nice. But I'm asking approval from the Assembly, since you can't receive any per diem or anything if you travel outside the state. For per diem during that trip, it'd be roughly $540. So if there's any objections, now would be the time to bring them up. One other item, after we sent our letter, emailed it to Mike Lukshin. I heard Cindy and Jay talking about that a little bit today on Borough Business. He called me Friday the 11th, which was kind of a surprise. It was Veterans Day, but they received our letter about the ownership of the three state docks, and he said he was surprised to see how detailed the response was. And I told him, well, we've been collecting public comment for 6 months. We have 20 letters or comments that we've summarized and went with that and then discussed it pretty lengthy. So he said they're looking it over at his office and different departments, and the legislators are, and he gave no time frame for their response. He said he'd call before shortly before they give us an official response. And his feeling is, though, that I got out of the conversation was they can accommodate some of our requests, but not all. Which ones? He wasn't specific. So it's an ongoing thing, as we expected. That's it for the mayor's report. And, Steve, you have no written report. Anything you want to touch on?
I think it was, you know, when Mark and I met with Ray Manischowski and Randy Rero, the land selection looks, again, as the mayor said, promising. We've got some steps to go through to get it in a bill format that can be introduced. But to add to the conversation about Senate Bill 91, that was brought up, there's the feeling, at least from Randy and from our lobbyists, that this is probably not done with this, that it's affecting a lot of communities in a lot of different ways, and there were several questions about the methods the Department of Correction is using to kind of implement some of this. So I think we'll see more things happen. It's kind of frustrating for the communities involved, but we definitely voice that, and hopefully we'll have better answers as the session gets underway. And the one thing about AML I think that was kind of consistent when we met was the governor and his representatives were really asking communities to, as we get into the public testimony portion of the budget, to be very vocal. They talked about all the resolutions that communities had sent. They were very appreciative of that, but they say now it's time to start calling legislators and testifying at the LIO. They do feel that it's going to be an uphill fight to get a balanced budget out of the legislature, and that they're going to need the help of all the communities in Alaska and people to kind of have their voices heard. So that was pretty much a consistent theme. And it came from many members of the staff that attended, the finance directors, the managers meeting, the municipal leagues, the mayor conference, pretty much were making the rounds, talking to folks. So we'll take them seriously, and we'll try to help people know when it's the right time to testify.
Yeah, and one thing, the governor's budget, the operating budget, will be coming out in, I don't know, 10th of December or something, 2-3 weeks, whatever it's going to be. And he wants to fully fund PERS and TERS, or doesn't want to change that, and revenue sharing, but that's all up to the legislature. So we'll see what goes on from there.
Mark?
Yes.
Was there any discussion about the our original submission of 1,000 acres plus when you discussed it with Randy?
That was touched on a little bit. I think it was 1,240, 1,280, yeah, whatever 12, we get, 12, whatever it is. Steve, in the meantime, DNR is, Steve might have to clarify this, but they've taken more lands basically away for our selection.
If I may.
Yeah.
To Bob's question, yes, there was some discussion. There's a feeling that DNR is, let's say, is reluctantly turning land use loose. Excuse me, I said that. So that this will continue to be an ongoing conversation with them to get through the process of turning loose of that land to the borough. There's also an issue of, and we as a borough responded to that, but DNR trying to lock up more of the VUU land, not just in Arborough, but throughout the state, by changing the designation on it and making it where we couldn't select it. So we've voiced our concern over that and asked them to stop. We don't know how far that'll get, but Randy Rurrow, I think, was the one who spoke to it when Mark and I met with him, which was that there seems to be a bit of a flip in how DNR looks at things, and they seem to be wanting to hold on to state land, not turn it loose. So we don't know yet what kind of impact that'll have on the process.
I would assume then we have to watch that 1,000 acres in addition to the other amount we're looking at.
We'll get our allotment. You know, I mean, that they can't do much about unless the legislature comes back and changes something. But it's beyond that, it becomes the big question. And keeping on top of them to get our 1,000 acres. I mean, it'll happen. It's just kind of, we were having a hard time connecting people. It seemed like we would make phone calls and not get calls back, or we would send emails and not get emails back. And Randy was going to look into that for us. He was going to kind of walk over there and see what he could do to.
Yeah, I know that we've had at least 7 or 8 of them we've sent up there, and we've never got responses to. Yeah.
A little frustrating. Now we're on to unfinished business.